having a barbecue sale, and we haven't done this in a few years, but under Joel and Hannah's leadership, amen. So if you'd like to purchase a Boston butt and some sauce for your 4th of July holiday, see one of our young adults, amen. And, of course, they're doing that for their upcoming camp trip. And then, of course, we'll be enjoying communion together this morning. And I'm going to continue to ask you to make our scheduled times together a priority. And our Wednesday evening time at 7, where we have service and young adults, I encourage you to be faithful to that and be a part of that. As we began this year, the Lord brought us a word through Brother Donald that 2026 could either be a new year or another year. And we all agreed that we wanted it to be a new year. Amen. Not just another year. And of course, one of the explanations for that was if we continue to do in 26 what we did in 2025, it'll just be another year. Amen. So we're doing some things differently as the Lord leads us. Amen. And a new understanding is being forged through that doing and through those experiences. And we're growing. Amen. We're growing. Somebody say, I'm growing. Amen. I saw a billboard for a church one time. It said, are you growing where you're going? Amen. And well, praise God. I pray that you're growing by attending and being a part of this family of faith here at Heritage. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 5. And let's begin at verse number 12, Hebrews 5 and 12. I want to continue to talk to you this morning about spiritual growth, growing. We said growth is the key to lasting change, and that there are things that we can grow out of and that we need to grow up, and that we also, there are things for us to grow into. And Father's desire for us is to be saved and then to come to the knowledge of the truth. And our understanding is not born again. Our spirit, you are a spirit being and you were born again, but your understanding was not. So Father's plan for your understanding is something he calls discipleship. And discipleship is when we walk together with Jesus and we learn through our daily lives from him by doing the things that he instructs us to do. The current understanding that we have was forged by experience. Amen. In other words, we see things the way we see them and respond to things the way we respond to them because of experiences that we've had in our lives. And if our understanding is ever going to change, and if we're going to continue to see things more and more the way our Father sees them and respond to things more and more the way our Father responds to them, then it's going to require experiences in our lives. That's why we say over and over that the difference is in the doing, not just hearing the word, but hearing and doing the word. But of course, the devil tries and fights tooth and toenail, so to speak, to keep us from ever hearing the word. If we hear the word, he tries to come and steal it immediately before we understand it. And if he can't do that, he tries to choke it out through circumstances. And if he can't do that, he tries to choke it out with the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. The devil is afraid of the word of God taking root and producing fruit in your life. Amen. But even if we hear the word and he can't prevent us from hearing it, he definitely is going to do everything he can to keep us from ever acting upon the word and exercising our faith to actually do what it is that the Lord is teaching us. But this is how we grow. We grow by doing. Amen. Hearing is important. But hearing alone is not enough for us to grow. And that's what we're seeing in these verses here confirmed in Hebrews chapter 5. Let me put my back screen up there. I apologize. Amen. I'm excited about this morning and the things that the Lord's got for us. But Hebrews 5, he says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And so there's obviously a lot of things that we've already covered here. If you're new to this study, I'm not going to try to go back. Those are available on the church website free of charge. Don't cost you anything, just some time and effort to go back. But one of the things that we've learned from this verse is that growth does not occur automatically with time. So again, these are people who had heard the word. They've been born again. But notice, he doesn't say that they're unknowledgeable in the word, but they're unskilled. And skill is developed through, again, experience, through doing. It's one thing to have something explained to you. It's another thing to put it into practice in your life and do that consistently enough for it to become a new skill in your life. And this, again, it's not enough for us to just have knowledge where the Word of God is concerned. We need to have skill and become skillful in using His Word, applying His Word. And we do this in discipleship class. I'm not going to try to go back through all these now. But, for example, the Bible says the Word of God is like the hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. To me, one of my favorite, and I think this one is probably the strongest we see in Scripture, in Ephesians 6, where the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Well, that's speaking of a weapon that we use in spiritual warfare. But if it's a word sword, how do you swing it? You swing it by speaking it. Amen. By doing it, by putting it into practice. So we see where the Word of God is, compared to and is identified as these different implements. A hammer is something that, if you've never picked one up, watch your fingers when you start that first nail. Amen. But you can develop skill with a hammer. Are you with me? Anybody ever seen a roofer? I'm talking about a skilled roofer, sure enough skilled roofer that can, Wally, I bet you can do it, right? Take a handful of them roofing nails and, just one tap it, bang it, tap it, bang it, tap it, bang it, tap it. They can go as fast as somebody with a nail gun. Amen. Well, that's a skill. They weren't able to do that first time they picked up that hammer. But over, by reason of use, is we don't have that verse up there, but verse 14 talks about by reason of use, by doing it consistently, you get better and better and better at it. Well, the same is true with applying the Word of God to our lives. Now, number two, we see that growth requires interacting with other people. Growth requires interacting with other people. And I think this will be our fourth session on just that one point alone. So again, we've covered a lot of ground. I'll be very brief in my review, but what we see is that all true discipleship occurs within the context of fellowship, within the context of fellowship. So that's fellowshipping with Jesus and fellowshipping with other human beings, with other people. We were created by God for fellowship. When it was just Adam and God, God said that it's not good. Because what we see is that God is an eternal community, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they dwell in absolute communion, meaning absolute sharing with one another. There's zero selfishness. There's zero selfishness in the Godhead. Zero looking out for number one, as far as them being number one, right? As far as Jesus is concerned, the Father and the Holy Spirit are number one, and we're looking out for them. Okay, so benefiting from the supply of others while never offering your own will keep you in a perpetual state of childishness. Why? Because we were created by an eternal community for an eternal community. Amen. In other words, you were created by God to be a part of the community that is God. Now, in the course of our study, we've talked about the difference between positional oneness and functional oneness. I'm not going to try to go back into all that this morning, but when a man or a woman stand before God, enter into a covenant before God, God makes them positionally one. He makes the two one. But then they go forth from that ceremony in their day-to-day marriage, learning how to function together as one. So you have positional oneness and functional oneness. Amen. Every time I get to this part right here, I want to spend like 3 hours on it because it's so critically important. We've talked about this. I don't want to spend a lot of time here this morning, but it's very important that you understand this right here, because when you were born again, you became positionally one with God, and life on planet Earth is learning how to function in oneness with God. So positional oneness paves the way for functional oneness. Your positional oneness is not based upon your functional oneness. It's based upon a blood covenant that Jesus made with God the Father on your behalf. Amen? But because we are positionally one, we now have the ability to learn how to function as one with God. Now, because of this, we said that love is the law that rules God's kingdom. Love is the law. You got 613 laws in the First Testament. Most people are only familiar with 10, the 10 commandments, but there are actually 613 that you may not have been very familiar with. And that was the law, if you will, that's referenced in the First Testament, or what a lot of people call the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in this new kingdom now that we've been born into, Jesus said, if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Meaning everything in that First Testament can be fulfilled in your life and in mine by loving God and by loving other people as we love ourselves. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? Matter of fact, he said, and I heard Brother Copeland explain it this way. He said, think of those two commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, as two brackets that support a curtain rod. And then, of course, curtains hang on the curtain rod, right? So when he says, on those two hang all the law and the prophets, if one side or the other fails, then all the, you see how the curtains are all coming off that rod, right? Amen. So when we say love is the law that rules God's kingdom, Jesus then gave us a third law of love, and that is John 13:34, that we are to love others as he's loved us, to love others as he has loved us. So the church is often referred to as a faith community. I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but really and truly, we are first and foremost a love community. We are first and foremost a love community. Now, anybody who gets irritated at me for reviewing this part right here, okay, it's your fault. All right, because you looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate when I asked you this last Sunday morning. Remember, faith is the ability to see beyond the created realm. Faith is how we tap into the answers that God has for us beyond what our five senses can discern. Faith enables us to function in the realm of the spirit the way our five physical senses enable us to function in the physical realm. So faith in that is like a sixth sense, or a spiritual sense, if you will. Hope is the ability to see beyond what you're going through right now. Hope is a confident expectation of something better in the future. So I'm trying to, in the interest of being practical, I'm trying to help you see these things in a practical way. I mean, man, people talk about faith. I mean, we're talking about my faith, and they mean their Baptist faith or their Catholic faith or their faith. You know, there's all kinds of different ways that people throw the word faith around. And, of course, we have the biblical definition for faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? I'm just trying to give you a definition of faith to help you understand that, you know, faith is the ability to see beyond the limits of human reasoning and human ingenuity, medical science, all these other things. Amen. There's a lot of things that are impossible for people, or for mankind, but the Bible, Jesus said, you know, this may be impossible for men, but all things are possible to him who believes. So faith, the victory that overcomes the world, faith's our ability, amen, to see beyond the limitations of this created realm. Hope is the ability to see beyond what you're going through right now. Love is the ability to see beyond yourself. Now, what I really want to zero in on this morning is how the enemy is trying to keep us weak and immature when it comes to love. Because he knows that if he can keep us weak and immature when it comes to love, right? If you can't see beyond yourself, you'll never see beyond what you're going through right now. And how will you ever see beyond this created realm if you can't see beyond yourself and beyond what you're going through right now? Is faith important? Yes. Is hope important? Yes. Is love important? Yes. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these. is love. That's not to take away from the importance or the greatness of faith or the importance or greatness of hope. But I think if we look at it from this perspective as being the ability to see beyond, amen, it becomes pretty clear why love is the greatest of these. Because this is the catalyst. Do you understand what I mean by a catalyst? You can have everything necessary for a reaction, but if you don't have that one last component, nothing's going to happen. But that one component acts as a catalyst to set off a whole chain of other events and what have you. Anybody ever mixed epoxy? You know what I'm saying? JB Weld, anybody ever? Come on now. Redneck engineers in the room like me. Praise God. Okay, well, again, as long as those two things stay separate from one another, they're not going to do anything but stink. Amen. Smell funny, right? But boy, you put those two together, there, a reaction happens. Amen. That creates a glue or a substance. Amen. So, faith and hope and love, all these are pillars for life in Father's kingdom. And not to diminish or take away from the importance of faith. I don't have this in my notes, and maybe we'll develop it a little further on down the road. But if we're not careful, our efforts to be strong in faith can be motivated by selfishness. So we realize all that, you know, faith appropriates and how we access things by faith and how, you know, all this other stuff. And it's almost like Father set it up as a governor, so to speak. In other words, as important as your faith is, it works by love. And so you can't get too far out ahead of yourself. Amen. Because somebody who's very immature and also operating powerfully in faith can get themselves in a heap of trouble real fast. Amen. Y'all still with me? All right. So I'm just reminding you of this because I want you to see the importance of being able to see beyond ourselves. Now, the Holy Spirit gave me a simple, when I say definition, I'm not sure definition is the right word here, but a way to really, in a practical way, identify whether or not we're in love, walking in love, most importantly, not just walking in love, but growing and developing in love. Because these things can be very deceptive. And I believe there's a reason why they can be very deceptive is because our enemy is a deceiver and he is severely threatened by your growth. Okay? But not just your growth in general, but he is severely threatened by your growth in love in particular. Deeper in my notes, but while I'm here, let me just go with it, okay? The devil doesn't want you, again, to grow in anything that has to do with God. But if you are growing in your faith, or at least your knowledge of faith and how faith works and what faith is, if you're growing in Christian disciplines, again, the devil doesn't want that. But how about growing holiness and godliness would be Christian disciplines. Godliness is all the things you do because you've been made right with God. Come to church, read your Bible, study, so to speak, okay? Again, I'm simple, practical. Anybody here in simple, practical this morning? Godliness is all the things you do now because you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We sometimes use righteousness, godliness, and holiness as interchangeable, as you know, as if they all three mean the same thing. They do not. Righteousness is a state of being. If you've been born again, you be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, state of being, there are certain things that we do in response to that. That would be godliness. Eusebia in the Greek, God's, any name of God's not even in that word. Godliness, really ultimately defined as piety. Can't believe I'm going this far into this, but just let's go with it while we're here. So things like what we would consider to be Christian disciplines, prayer, scripture reading, church attendance, acts of service. You know, these would all be considered characteristics or components of a godly life. Then holiness. Holiness is all the things you don't do anymore because you've been made righteous. All the jokes you don't laugh at, all the places you don't go, all the things that you don't participate in, things of this of worldly sinful nature. That's holiness. Again, it's a Christian discipline. The devil would just as soon you not develop in any of those Christian disciplines. But the one thing, listen to me very carefully, the one thing that he knows that I want you to know and understand is as long as you don't grow in love, you can grow in faith, service, sacrifice, spiritual gifts, all this other stuff, right? But as long as you don't grow in love, your growth in all these other areas are going to be limited in their effectiveness at best, if not ineffective altogether. And of course, we're basing this on 1 Corinthians 13, right? Paul said you can develop all faith to move mountains, but if you don't have love, you're nothing. Right? So it's the love part of all of this that the devil works the hardest, if you will, to try to keep us from growing in. Are you with me? It's the part that he tries most desperately to keep us from developing and increasing in. And let me, I'm getting way out of line on my notes, but let's look at here. 1 Thessalonians, can we grow in love? The answer is yes. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Increase more and more in what? Increase more and more in your love. Now, there are all kinds of ways, and maybe we'll come back to this at a later date. There are all kinds of ways for us to increase in love more and more. In their situation, it was to increase in their love geographically. Are you following me? In other words, their love had impacted a certain geographical location, right? Now he says, let's increase. Amen. Are you following me? I don't necessarily think there's anybody in here right now, watching online right now, but in the past, and again, we've got 28 years, that's a good little time together, amen? Especially in the early days of the church, there were people who weren't really fond of us doing things overseas or doing things in other nations and things. They believe that that money should be kept here and that we should be building ball fields and ever whatsoever, you know, for our people and for our family of faith. Well, I learned this from Keith Moore. You know, it's not either or, it can be both and. Are you following me? And I learned from Bill Johnson, the light that shines the furthest shines the brightest at home. Amen. And I also learned from the Holy Spirit, amen, that he'll bring people into your life that you came out of your mama's womb looking for, amen, that may not make any sense to your own understanding. But the Lord saw fit for me to meet a man named Cornelius Onyango, amen, some 12 years ago now. Are you following me? And establish a heart connection, a fellowship, partnership through which his purposes can prosper. So we talk about increasing in love. We're talking about in our willingness to be inconvenienced. Brother Donald and I were talking about this before church, you know. For some folks, attending church is an inconvenience. Especially, as he said, on a rainy Sunday. I mean, I don't know, man. We'd have to get the umbrella to go today. I just don't know, man. I mean, you know, I mean, it's not like it's... are you understand what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, I mean, it's bad enough to have to go on a sunny Sunday. But now that we got to get the umbrella out, I don't know. We'll just catch them on the flip side, I guess. Maybe won't be right. So I would dare say most, not everybody listening to me right now, you've grown past that. 'Cause maybe it started that way for you, right? But now it's like you've pushed against that resistance and you now can't wait to get here. We have a word for that. You know what it is? Growth. You're growing. You're growing. Right? Okay. Well, so where does it end? In other words, again, he says to the Thessalonians, and man, if you don't think, these were some precious people. This church right here, man, this would have been the kind of church, if you were alive in those days, you would, only place you'd want to be other than Thessalonica, church is the church that Father God would have for you to be a part of. But these folks, man, they were a bright spot. But he's encouraging them. He's like, listen, man, you guys, you don't have to have me tell you to love, but I do want to remind you that we need to be increasing. And you've really got some good things going in Macedonia, but listen, we can extend beyond the borders of Macedonia because the love of God can reach all the way around the world. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The word of God can reach to East Africa from Hueytown, Alabama and make a difference in the lives of people there. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Whew. Sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Pastor Cornelius, we were talking this past week and I don't even think we talked about this, and I could come up here every Sunday and just talk about what's going on in East Africa, you know what I'm saying? But obviously we've got other things to do, but they had some flooding there. Some of our brothers and sisters their homes were flooded and so some of the monthly support that we sent to them, I told Cornelius, look, you know, use some of that money to help them in practical ways. And he said, you know, something we don't even think about. He said, Dad, I showed up with some blankets. He said, and for folks who haven't been warm, because all their clothes and everything's sopping wet, right? They haven't been warm in days. You have no idea what just a dry blanket. Amen. You did that? That's your love extending, increasing more and more. Here's the thing. Let me get back to it. I got a lot firing off in my heart and mind about this subject, okay? The devil does not want us to grow and increase at all in anything. But that one key area, love. And so he goes about it different ways. And one of the key ways is for us just not even think about it, or for us just to assume where we ended last week in thinking, because we don't necessarily hate anybody or just a few people that probably deserve it, that this somehow means that we love everybody and therefore have no room to grow, no room to improve, no room to change here. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's kind of like, done this for years at the Foundry, and I'm sure here, you know, you walk into a room full of men and you start teaching on the subject of fear, and they're like, you got the wrong group, Pastor. There's nobody here that has any fear at all of anything. You know, it's almost like this idea, you know, that we're blinded to our need for growth or development in these areas. So I think that's one of the number one strategies the devil uses, is that we think we love everybody. You know, it's like, oh man, I love everybody. Okay. So that's why I think the Holy Spirit a few weeks back said to present it to us this way. Notice I said to us, not just to you, to me. All right. It's presented to me first. All right, then I present it to you. How willing are you to be inconvenienced by another person? And God being the person of God, right? How willing are you to be inconvenienced by something God asks you to do? He asks you to assemble together. So, see, let's shift gears for a minute. I think most people know that Peter denied Jesus three times. He denied him publicly. Jesus restored him publicly. And he restored him publicly by asking him three questions. He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Well, Peter had went back to fishing, and there were fish there. So some people say Jesus was asking him, you know, do you love me more than the fishing, your former life? Others, you know, Peter always bragged about loving Jesus more than all the other disciples. Well, the other disciples were there, obviously with the exception of Judas. Do you love me more than these? I don't think that's an either or. I think it's a both and. Do you love me more than the fish, and do you really love me more than everybody else? A little bit of a sting there, I'm sure, in that question, public question, right? And Peter says, you know I love you, Jesus. And Jesus tells him to feed the sheep. Then he asks him again, feed the lambs. And he asks him a third time, do you love me? Now, here's the part that a lot of people don't understand. And that's the differences in the words that Jesus was using in the original language. And I'm going to put those up on the screen for a moment. Philo is translated in our English Bible, love. And philo means warm, fond, affectionate feelings for another person. So think Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. And so when people think about love, this is the word they often think of, philo. There's another word, actually three more words. We'll just focus on these two. Agape. This is love expressed for another as an act of the will. It's a choice. In other words, act of the will means a choice. And in the absence of affectionate feelings, and often in the presence of negative ones, love your enemies, what Jesus told us to do, right? Okay, so you think, well, I don't have warm, fond, affectionate feelings for my enemy. That's not what he didn't say, philo, your enemy. He said agape, your enemy. This is love as an act of the will. How willing are you, see, to be inconvenienced by another person? It's a lot easier for us to just think of love in terms of philo instead of agape. And so when Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? And he says, you know I love you. Okay. Jesus said, Peter, do you agape me? Right? Peter says, agape? Me and you are tight, Jesus. I got philo for you. It's not what Jesus asked him. He wasn't asking him about warm, fond, affectionate feelings. He was asking him, what are you willing to do? Do you see the difference here, right? See, for us, again, we need not just some teaching in this area. We need some, like, periodic reminding of these things in this area, because we tend to think of love as a feeling. Are you with me? We tend to think of love as the warm, fond, affectionate feelings. Okay? Agape, love, right? This is talking about an act of the will. When Jesus said, love your enemies, he said, agape your enemies. It's an act of the will. This means doing good for and praying for, forgiving, turning the other cheek, all these things that Jesus instructed us to do, right? That's to say the least, that's a willingness to be inconvenienced. All right, now. Why are we more willing to be inconvenienced by some people and less so by others? Are you following me? There are some folks who would call you, you know, middle of the night, broke down on the side of the road. You're like, okay, just don't move. I'm on my way. All right? Other folks, you might see their name on your caller ID and just pretend you're asleep. Am I right about it? You know I'm right about it. What's the philo factor? People that we have warm, fond, affectionate feelings for, we tend to be more readily willing to be inconvenienced by them than we are willing to be inconvenienced by people that we do not have philo for, warm, fond, affectionate feelings. So do you see how this can be very deceptive when it comes to growing and increasing in love? Yes, no, maybe. Are you still with me? So, simply put, the greater the philo, the more likely we are to be inconvenienced or go out of our way for someone. So, in the interest of being most practical, the more willing you are to be inconvenienced by other people, the less selfish you are. The less willing you are to be inconvenienced by other people, the more selfish you are. Yes? That's harsh. I know that's, man, that's kind of like, see, these are the kinds of things, though, the devil never wants you to hear. He wants you to just think that you're like, you know, a love ninja. You know what I'm saying? That you just walk around and love just oozes out of you everywhere you go, right? And all those people you haven't forgiven in your life who've wronged you, well, they shouldn't have wronged you. And what they did was bad. And the Lord knows I'm trying, right? See, again, we can excuse away all these other things, right? Well, they don't know how busy I am. They don't understand what all I've got on my plate. They don't realize what time I have to get up in the morning. They don't see, we can make all these different excuses, right, as to why we can't be inconvenienced by God to come to church on Wednesday night, why we can't be inconvenienced by our coworker because they need some help moving on a Saturday, why we can't be, how about our lost coworker who doesn't know the Lord? Are you following what I'm saying? Where the person you sit to next to on church on Sundays, you'd be more than willing to go help them move on a Saturday. Get a little strong up in here. See, Peter wanted it to be about the philo. Jesus wanted it to be about the agape. Is the philo important? Yes, it's important. Jesus used the word philo in reference to his disciples. Are you following me? But philo will only get you so far. Matter of fact, amen, thank you, Jesus. I'm not sure how much we're going to grow with philo. Let's just say it that way. This quote from Bryce Young, and if you're not familiar with Bryce Young, he's quarterback for the Panthers. Isn't that right? Carolina Panthers. He was the quarterback at Alabama. He won the Heisman Trophy there. And I was listening to an interview. Very humble young man, loves the Lord. And he talked about an important moment in his life, and it was when he was in high school, and he played basketball at a local gym on a regular basis. And you know how young men sometimes trying to impress their dad. He told his dad, he said, "Dad," he said, "I am the best basketball player in my gym." And his dad said, "Then you need to find another gym." Now you think, whoa, hold a second. I'd rather just be, you know, what's that? Big fish in a little pond instead of a little fish in a big pond. What was his dad telling him? If you want to continue to grow, you've got to get around people who are as good as you or better than you, right? Because they'll keep placing a demand on your potential so that you can continue to grow. Are you with me? Now, we established already that some people are easier to love than other people. So we tend to gravitate towards the people who are easy to love and avoid the ones who are difficult. But because we grow by pressing against resistance, avoiding the people who are more difficult to love is going to hinder our ability to grow in love. Y'all still with me? So, we need a new gym. Amen? Amen. Skipped over a whole bunch of stuff because I'm trying to get to this. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 5. We'll finish right here and then do communion, okay? Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. So, it's 10 verses. 10 verses. Jesus speaking, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Hold on just a second before we go any further. Look at me for a minute. I'm not saying Jesus said this, but he may as well have said this. Okay. Welcome to love practice. Welcome to love practice. Okay. And you're not in a gym anymore where you're the best at showing love to other people. Okay? All right, here we go. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Now, if you're like me, your own understanding is raging right now. So remember, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Is this the master speaking? Reckon he knows that this will work no matter how many times your understanding says, this won't work. We can't do this. We can't live like this. Okay. But see, again, what we don't realize is that Jesus is trying to disciple us. Jesus' assignment is getting us ready for the national championship. Jesus is preparing us to function in oneness with his Father and himself and the Holy Spirit for all of eternity. Love is the law that rules the kingdom. And we are way behind in our love development. You gotta look at this way. This is what Jesus is trying to show us and teach us. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Let's address another area of our understanding, right? You know, is that, well, yeah, that's my favorite coat. Or that's the only coat I have. You know, he took my sweater and now he wants my coat. God, do you expect me to go cold? No, he doesn't expect you to go cold. He wants to make you an underlayment what do you call them? Somebody help me. You know what I'm talking about. He wants to make you a coat distributor. Let's just say it that way, right? I was trying to come up with the outerwear. Amen. He wants to make you an outerwear distributor. Do you think for one second, if you did this, that God's going to leave you sitting out in the cold somewhere? He's going to give you more sweaters and more coats than you could wear in a lifetime. He's trying to help you tap into that, right? And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. If you don't understand what's going on here, it was Roman law. The Roman soldiers carried big, heavy packs. And they could just snatch you up out, sitting at a roadside cafe having lunch with your family. They could grab the husband in that family, the oldest son in that family, carry our packs 1 mile. Well, you got to carry their pack 1 mile, then walk back a mile. And boy, this chap, the hide of Jewish people. I mean, that's what Jesus said. After you get to that first mile marker, and it's time for you to drop the pack and walk off mad. Look that soldier in the eye and says, I'm paraphrasing now. I'll walk another mile with you if you'd like for me to, sir. How inconvenienced have you already been? I mean, you were going to have lunch with your family and then go to Costco and see what was going on. I mean, you had your whole off day planned, and now this Roman soldier has just bullied you and embarrassed you and made you carry his smelly junk. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Welcome to love practice. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your... You say, I don't have enough faith to do that, Pastor Mark. No, you don't have enough. If you got the faith, we need the love. You've got the faith to believe God for everything you'll ever need. He gave you the measure of faith. Love is to your faith what gasoline is to your car. The devil will have us working on our car for the rest of our days on this earth without ever putting a drop of gasoline in the tank. The devil wants you to go to heaven with a turbocharged, you know, souped up, everything outfitted, right? But it ain't never left the driveway. Thinking you all that in a bag of chips. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Agape your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Think of it as a chip off the old block. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? If you're just good to people who are good to you, if you only help people that you have warm, fond, affectionate feelings for, do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do? This is the question he's asking. What do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors help people move to a third floor apartment who helped them move 2 years ago? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Do you know what this word perfect literally means? Mature. You shall be mature. Still talking about growth. I got to give it to you. In the Message translation, here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Is that going to get us anywhere? Here's what I propose. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. If someone drags you into court and sues you for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. And if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat stuff. Live generously. You're familiar with the old written law. Love your friend and its unwritten companion. Hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone, regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up. Your kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward you. Amen. Matt, Vanessa, Daniel, if y'all would come, please. Praise God. All right, I skipped over some stuff that connects a lot of this together. We'll come back to it next week. Are you hearing? Are you? See, now listen, I understand, because your flesh don't like this business. Your flesh don't like this, okay? But if you listen very carefully, something deep on the inside of you is saying, I'm going all in on this. Okay, all right. Now listen, let me go back to Brother Donald and I's conversation, all right? The Bible says that we advance in this in degrees. So what you got to do is you got to find that next level of resistance based on inconvenience. Are you following me? And then we're going to push against that for a while. You can't grab the 100-pound dumbbell until you grab the 20-pound dumbbell and lift it for a while. And then we go to the 25s and we lift it for a while. Are you understanding? This is how we grow in love, by pushing against the resistance to not be inconvenienced. I asked the group on Wednesday night, I'm going to ask you this morning, since last Sunday, have you recognized some opportunities to be inconvenienced? Okay. Yeah, a bunch, right? Okay. So, again, we say, that ain't love. Love is all these warm and fond affectionate feelings. No, love is an act of the will. Love is like, you know what? I'm going to do this as unto the Lord. I'm going to live out of my truth. See, remember, we looked at this on a Wednesday night several weeks ago, okay? Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. But they never really understood what they had been freely given until they started freely giving it away. And so this is what he's talking about. You tap into your true self. You don't realize how much love's in you until you start tapping into it by allowing yourself to be inconvenienced by other people. Right? See, among other things, I hope this helps you start looking at the people in your life who are hard to love. As a blessing. Amen. I was telling somebody, this is years ago, nobody that's there now. Okay. I like to speak to people. Pam and I were going to the Y on a regular basis, and we get there early. And I guess the lady who was there early, she didn't want to be there early. It was, you know. And so I would speak to her, and she wouldn't speak back to me. And I thought at first, after a few days, I thought maybe she's deaf. I mean, I wasn't being funny. I literally thought maybe she was deaf. But then I heard her talking to other people and responding to other people. I said, no, she's not deaf. I don't want to exaggerate it. It was 18 months of me speaking to her multiple mornings a week before she spoke back to me. Now, see, he's like, well, you be that way. You have no idea what that woman's been through. You have no idea. Something's up with somebody that wouldn't speak to me. I'm just being, you know, just being real with you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got nothing but love. You know what I'm saying? Amen. I come in there like Daniel, you know, not Daniel, Joseph in the prison. You know, why y'all so sad, man? Let's get, you know. But it became a challenge to me. I'm not being obnoxious, whatever. I'm just, you'd think after like 3 weeks, I'm like, well, just don't speak to her. She don't want to be spoken to. Everybody wants to be spoken to. Everybody wants to be seen. Everybody wants to be noticed. I don't know what's going on with that lady. Amen. You know, obviously she won't even speak to me, so how can I find out? But I'm going to keep loving her. I'm going to keep praying for her. Instead of looking at people in your life as they're rude or they're this or that, look at it as just a challenge. I'm going to learn to love this person. I'm going to continue to love this person. I'm going to continue, if necessary, to be inconvenienced by them on a regular basis. Amen. Somebody's got a coworker that splatters spaghetti all over the microwave. It would take you 5 minutes to wipe it up. Well, they shouldn't be splattering spaghetti all over. No, you're right, they shouldn't. I'm talking about simple things, practical things. How you ever going to get turned the cheek if your coworker slaps you, turn the other cheek if you can't even wipe their spaghetti out of the microwave? You know what I'm saying? Cleaning up after people. You know what I've learned as a pastor? Sheep can be messy. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I've learned to sweep up cigarette butts out of the doorways with a smile on my face. Amen. Amen. Y'all getting quiet on me up in here. Welcome to love practice. Welcome to love practice. And I'm going to tell you, this is the area. Man, the devil don't care what else you learn and grow. I mean, he don't want you to learn and grow in any of it. But this is the part right here. He knows that if he can't keep you from growing in love, all the other things are activated by it. Praise God. Amen. If those who are serving communion, if you would come, and I know I've gone a little over this morning, but...